Hey everybody, and welcome to Generation Psychic. This is Heather Woodward, your host. You can always go to my website at heatherwoodward.net. I have a book out called Ghosts of Central Arizona. I'm also a psychic and a medium and a teacher and a radio host, so I do all kinds of stuff. You should totally check it out. And like always, go to generationpsychic.com. That's where you can get archives of the other shows, and you can see all kinds of other fun stuff. Tonight I have actually two interviews happening. The first one is from Yvonne Gutierrez, who's like this really, really beautiful, wonderful person who has this very bright energy, and I love talking to her. It was a great interview. She is a Reiki master. She teaches Reiki, and she does Reiki attunements, and she helps facilitate healing, and she also works on pets, which I thought was really super cool, and we talk a little bit about that. The second interview that it's just a short little interview, is with Erin McNamara, and I interviewed her at the Tucson Psychic Fair last time it was on. I think it's every third Sunday of the month. You should totally check it out if you're in this area. She does all kinds of stuff. She's a tarot reader. She does past life regression. She does palm reading. She does all kinds of healing modalities. She's just a really, really lovely person, and we had a really, really great conversation. The sound on the second one isn't as good as the first one, but that's because we were totally in this like sequestered area at the fair, so you can hear people walking back and forth and all kinds of stuff happening. But it's still a great interview. So without further ado, here is the first interview. Hey everybody, we are talking to Yvonne Gutierrez, and she's a Reiki master teacher. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm doing really, really good. So tell me about how you become a Reiki master teacher, because I know there's like levels and stuff, and for those people that don't know, it's good information.
Well, my journey began when a friend of mine introduced me to Reiki. We did a Reiki circle at Unity Church years ago, and I went for just to see what was going on and what it was all about and to experience it for the first time.
Right.
Because I'd heard of it before. And so I attended a 15-minute chair session, and the practitioner that was working with me, the energy came through very subtly. I barely felt any difference in me at all during that session. I did walk away feeling, though, very comfortable, very relaxed, and just peaceful after that session. And I came home and I told my husband that this is what I want to do. I just know this is what I need to do. And so I took the first steps through that master teacher who worked on me that evening by becoming a Reiki 1 practitioner.
Wow.
See. And before I became that practitioner, I had a session with a spiritual being the night before.
Wow. Did you just feel like it was truly your calling to do this? I mean, was it just one of those things where you just compelled to do it?
I was drawn to it,
mm-hmm.
and I felt a real strong feeling that this is what I needed to do.
Right.
I needed to provide a service, but I didn't know what kind of service, and I was guided into this. Spiritually, I was guided through the heavens. I was guided through my master teacher. It was just something so comfortable that I knew that I needed to do.
Wow. So how did you go into like the Reiki 2 and then into the Master?
Well, I did my Reiki 1. With the Reiki 1 attunement, you have a 21-day cleansing process that happens after you become attuned.
Mm-hmm.
It just brings up all the emotion, all the feelings, all the fear, every emotion that you can feel, it brings it up and it has you face it. Either you're to heal it so that you can become a clearer channel. And I did the 21 days, and most of my clearing process was done through my sleep. So I would wake up very exhausted in the morning, like I'd done a lot of work.
Oh my gosh.
While I was sleeping. And I waited at least 3 months before I did the Reiki 2,
okay,
which is the next step. Above that, Reiki 1, you don't receive any symbols. You just become a channel for the energy, and you can actually give sessions at that point. But when you become a Reiki 2, You get symbols to work with, which actually empower the energy just a little bit more. And the channel becomes a little stronger. It's kind of hard to explain because you actually have to experience it in order to really understand what it is all about. But with the Reiki 2, you get symbols. And then from that, you move into a Reiki 3, which is advanced practitioner and then master teacher. And some teachers do advanced practitioner and master at the same time. And that's okay, because you're getting all of the energy and all of the symbols all at the same time. And you're able to become a master teacher at that point and teach and have sessions and just grow with the energy all the way.
Wow. Okay. So for those people who don't know, what is Reiki? Or like explain it.
Okay, Reiki is simply a universal life force energy that is coming from the divine through you. You don't use any of your own energy when you're giving a session. It's coming purely like I'm the hose, and the energy is the water coming through the hose. And we do hands-on, so the energy is placed on the crown or the shoulders or the upper chest, lower back. We don't guide the energy. We don't tell the energy where to go. It's divine. It knows where to go. It knows what the issue is. And it helps bring harmony and balance to that individual mentally, emotionally, physically, and health-wise.
Wow. So you kind of just facilitate the energy, essentially?
Yeah, I'm just the hose. That's the best way I can explain it. I'm just the hose. I've been blessed with this and I need to share it. So it actually comes out of my hands, through my crown and out of my hands. So, and into the receiver.
My gosh. Wow.
And wherever it goes, it goes. I don't direct it in any particular way. I generally have my client think of an issue that they want to have some guidance and clarity on, and to focus on that, like meditating on that while they're receiving a session, and they seem to get more clarity and understanding as to what their next step is going to be, whether it's a problem with job, problem with relationship, problem with friends, problem with the universe in itself, not creating the right things for yourself. So this energy kind of helps with all that.
Do you feel it when you, I mean, I've had Reiki before. I have. I've had it from somebody who did it remotely, and it felt like she was cleaning out my aura and my chakras. And so, like, I woke up in the middle of the night because she did it in the middle of the night, and I could feel like the bottom three chakras turning, and it was a very strange feeling. But I let it go. But I mean, but I'm a very intense person, so if somebody goes into my energy system, it's gonna feel weird. I'm definitely gonna be like, whoa. But I mean, for the most part, how does it feel for the average person?
It's different for everybody. The energy for me when I receive a session is so subtle, I can barely feel
Oh,
it.
really?
Very subtle. I can barely feel, and I'm very empathic, so I feel a lot. It comes into for me when I'm having a session very subtly. It just feels like I'm being bathed in the most beautiful love that you could ever get, unconditionally. That's what it feels like for me. For others, when they receive it, it can be, the energy can feel cold
Oh.
through them or super hot through them. It just depends on what they need. The energy will match what the client needs.
Oh, I see. So if it's, I guess it's kind of dependent on your personality too. Like if you know what I mean? And how you want it
Depends on the walls that the person
yeah.
has built
Okay.
around them. And if the walls are super thick, then they may not feel hardly anything at all. But if the walls are beginning to tumble and they're open to the idea and they're willing to heal, because I don't heal them, they have to do the work. I just give them the push to do the work.
That's interesting that you say that because I'm hearing that more and more from practitioners, not just Reiki practitioners or energy healers, but from readers too. I was talking to a woman yesterday and She says the best readers and the best healers are the ones that can take themselves out of the equation and they create a space for the other person to figure out how to heal themselves. And I thought that was really profound, and that sounds like what you're doing, is you're just facilitating the healing. You're not actually doing the healing.
Yeah, I'm not the healer.
Right.
Divine is the healer. I'm just giving them the ways and the means to do the work to be the person that they want to be or the healthiest person that they want to be. I'm not, I after a session, I don't say, they thank me. I said, no, don't thank me, thank the divine. I'm here for the divine.
Right. That makes sense. So, what kind of, okay, I know you do Reiki and I know you teach it. So what kind of things do people come to you for? I mean, like, what would be a good thing to use Reiki for or to get a Reiki attunement to?
Well, one of my clients came to me on a weekly basis because it helped her keep balance and harmony in her life. Others have come for a specific, I have a pain in my shoulder, or I have a pain in my knee, or I just had surgery and it's really hurting, can you help? And I say, I can provide you with the means and the ways to release the emotional contact behind that pain so that the pain goes away. But yes, I can help you. If you're willing to help me help you by doing the work.
Okay. So how open do you have to be?
Not very. You just have to be a little tiny open, and it takes that and it goes with it.
Okay. You just need a little pinhole.
Just a little pinhole.
Yeah, okay.
And eventually that little pinhole becomes, a big wow and ready to receive and willing to receive and actually thrives on it and wants more
Yeah.
because it feels just so good.
It does. I mean, I do remember that aspect of it. I know the first part of it, I was a little bit, I'm a kind of a guarded person. So, and I don't let anybody really go into my energy. You know, I'm one of those people where I love to read other people, but I'm not really good at being read. You know what I mean?
Right, I know exactly what you mean.
So
Exactly.
it's, I'm like, what are you doing? What? But, so for, for me, I guess it was, at first, again, I had that real intense feeling of just sort of being cleansed, like I was being scrubbed. But the next day, when I got over it, you know, and I've slept, and I was like, okay, I got really, really high, and I just felt really, really good. I felt really, really energized. But I know you were talking about how, like, after you got attuned, there was like this whole cleansing thing that happened. I mean, I
Yes.
didn't get attuned to like a certain, you know, level, but I just remember like that for those 2 weeks, like, just all this emotional stuff came up. And even now, I still am sort of, I did 3 or 4 sessions, so I just remember that, I mean, I still going through some stuff. Like, it just seems like everything sort of came up to the surface. All of my issues, you know, sort of just came up. So it was really interesting how that came about, because I was like, wow, these are things I haven't even thought of in a really long time, and they're like all blocks of things that have been kind of messing with me. And it's so interesting because after I did it, I have sort of raised to this higher level. I've sort of ascended. And so, I mean, I can attest that Reiki like works super, super well.
It works, and it works deep.
It
I mean,
does, yeah.
it doesn't work on the little tiny issue. It works on something that's deeply embedded in you, that we've hidden from ourselves, that we're not willing to face. But in order for us to have physical health, you have to have emotional and mental health and spiritual health right along with that. So it's going to attack the emotion first. It's going to bring it and stick it up right in your face, and you're going to have to deal with it because it's not going to go away until you do.
Right. And I think that's so freeing. Do you find that your clients come back to you and are like, wow, I feel so free, or do they feel like they're.
They feel sometimes exhausted because they've had a lot of work to do.
Oh, okay.
And then they come back because they want to feel that comfort all over again. And I kind of warn them and go, you got to realize that if you have anything left unsaid, undone, it's going to come up and you're going to have to deal. And if you're willing to do that, then this whole thing is going to be the best blessing that you've ever received.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you think that more people are wanting to be healed right now?
I think a lot of people want to, need it, but aren't sure how to go about getting it or the help.
Right. Because I'm finding that there's more people that are really more open to it than before, and it sort of, I mean, it's a wonderful thing, but it also fascinates me in a way because it feels to me like people that I would never have thought would be wanting to kind of go into the metaphysical or even acknowledge its existence are wanting to be healed, and I just wonder what you think about that.
I think with the times and the way things are right now, that a lot of people are actually, personally, I'm so wanting to always connect with the divine and be guided in that way and have optimum health and well-being and just be in complete harmony all the time. And I think the times and the energy is changing to bring a lot of us to this place where we have harmony with internally and externally. And we're just, I don't know, I think we're just being pulled in that direction. Subconsciously, we're being pulled in that direction. Some of us consciously are being pulled in that direction. And those, I was subconscious, I was out of it a few years back, and all of a sudden I'm just like, I was just pushed into it, and I love it. And I'm always searching for more and trying to grow and incorporate other things into the energy work.
Wow. That's amazing. So now for those people that want to either come and learn from you or to get a session from you, what's your website and do you practice in Tucson?
Yes, I practice. I was born and raised in Tucson,
Oh my
Arizona.
gosh. You're
I'm a natural.
I was gonna say you're like the first person I've ever talked to that's from Tucson. That really is from Tucson.
I am from Tucson. My website is www.silentwings2.com. And they can call me 481-5816, area code 520. And I come to you.
Oh, very cool.
So I don't have a permanent station yet. So I do travel. I travel to the client.
Oh, very cool. And where do you have anything coming up right now that you're going to be doing? Any workshops or anything?
I'm going to be doing a fair this weekend.
Oh, cool.
It's for Dogtoberfest, and it's being held at Fort Lowell and the Fort Lowell Park on Glen and Craycroft.
Oh, very cool. What's the date on that? Just for.
That's Saturday, October the 9th.
Oh, cool. And so you also do Reiki on animals, you said, right?
Yes, that's where I'm going to be doing on Saturday. I'm going to be working on dogs. Dogs, cats, birds. I've even done
Oh
lizards
my gosh.
that my cats have teased to no end, and they are like in the state of shock. So I pick them up and I put them in my hands for 15, 20 minutes, and then they scooter away really nice and happy. So that's nice to see that happen.
Oh, how do you, okay, I gotta know, how do you Reiki on animals? I mean, honest, and I want to ask you this because we've been talking about this a lot lately, in my household. We always have interesting conversations in my household. But one of the things was, do you believe that animals have souls?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I think
Yes,
too.
I think they do. I think they are, well, I'm partial to cats, so I've always been intrigued by how they're so independent, but yet they know when you need them. They come to you. They like read you. I do believe they have souls. They're creatures of God. They have to have souls. I can't imagine them not having a soul. And dogs and cats and birds and lizards and snakes, whatever. They're so open to the energy. They don't have any walls built up for protection. And they're just so energetically in tune that, they read you energetically before they read you physically. So they know where you're coming from.
I think that's so true. My dog, I'm always surprised. I have a pug, and you just brought something up that's really interesting because he barks at certain people and not at other people. And it's interesting because when I walk to the door, I'm always the people that he doesn't bark at, I'm always fascinated with because they're usually people that I really like. They're usually
Well,
people
see,
that I'm connected to. It's
yeah,
funny.
he's reading your energy. I'm sorry to interrupt, but he's reading your energy And reading from that the person at the door is somebody that you care about or that you like.
Oh, okay.
So, and then, as he becomes familiar with these individuals, he won't bark at them. He'll bark for joy, like, when he misses you at the front door.
Yeah, he
But then,
does that
yeah, my dogs do that like 10 minutes before I get home.
too.
It's really strange. They know when I'm coming. They know when I'm coming home, and they know when my husband's coming home. So it's amazing to watch how they warn you, like 5 minutes before my husband walks in the door. I go, "Oh, I knew you were coming home. The dogs knew before I knew." So learn to read them, but they're so open to it. A lot of the times, though, the Reiki energy for them, through me, comes in a little too
Oh,
strong.
okay.
So sometimes they can't handle it hands on, and they handle it from a short distance away, which is called distance healing. But and they do really well. They're really receptive to it. I have a miracle dog here at home who was completely lame on all four. She was completely lame. She couldn't walk. And through Reiki and through other healing modalities such as acupuncture, Reiki, acupuncture mainly, she's now walking
Oh,
again.
wow.
The vets were incomplete. They were profound. They couldn't find a medical reason why. There was no medical reason why they couldn't,
Oh, wow.
no X-rays, no blood tests, nothing confirmed any kind of severe illness. So Reiki worked to heal the emotional illness behind that so that she could get up and walk again. And she's my little Reiki girl. I love her so much. She's such a cute thing. And I'm very grateful that the energy helped heal her and make her walk again. So it does do miracles if you believe in miracles. It's just, I've got quivers all through my body just thinking about it right now. But it's just, it's a wonderful thing. And everybody needs to experience at least one or two sessions just to know what it's all about.
So, do you think that do you think you could heal? I mean, I'm not do you think, you know, but do you do Reiki sessions on animals too? And I mean, if somebody's having an issue with their dog or cat, can you fix it?
I can't fix it.
They
Remember,
oh
I'm
that
just a
they can
channel.
fix it. I mean, yeah.
They can fix it.
Can you facilitate
And
it though?
I can facilitate it. I can guide the animal to a place where they are able to, just like us, face the issue and move forward with that and heal in that way. And I have healed. I've helped heal my dog. She has another dog. I have four
Oh,
dogs.
wow.
And another dog who has hip issues. She kind of throws it out every now and then. And the quicker you get to it with the energy, the faster the miracle happens. So the other day she was down on her legs, and I just immediately called in my spirit guides to help me help her. And I placed my hands on her, and 5 minutes later she was fine. She was barely moving, and then 5 minutes later she was up and running.
Wow.
So it can happen.
Now, what kind of issues do dogs or cats or animals have that creates blocks? What is it usually?
Abuse.
Oh.
Abuse is an issue. They don't, people believe that animals don't remember, but they kind of do. There's something, I mean, this dog that my dog with the hip problem was abused. She was adopted. We adopted her from Fair, and she was abused by men and brooms and sticks. So every time I pick up a broom, she still quivers, even though she knows I'm not going to
Oh
hit
my
her with it.
gosh.
But yeah, that's something we've been working with her for a while now. Now she's able to approach men and not feel fear. So that's a big accomplishment on her part. And we thank her every day for the little work that she does every day on her emotional issue. So, and Reiki helps her every day. I give Reiki to my animals every day.
Wow.
And pretty much, they're all pretty healthy.
Wow. So most of the abuse, I mean, most not the abuse, but most of the issues animals have are from other people. That's interesting. Never thought about it that way.
Oh yeah, we do a lot of damage sometimes.
Wow.
Not knowing that we're doing it, but we do some damage.
That's interesting. I know my doggy was used to be my sister's dog. You actually used to be it was to be my ex's dog, and then my sister took the dog, and then I took the dog after that. And it's so interesting because I remember, I don't really read animals, but when I used to go over to my sister's house all the time, he would totally come up to me all the time when I'd pet him and he'd fall asleep. And one time she asked me to read him, and for some reason our energy is just super connected. And she was having issues with him because he was barking and going to the bathroom on the carpet and stuff. And I remember all he wanted was peanut butter, so I told her to feed him peanut butter and pet him a little more, and that's all he wanted. And he said that after that he just his character turned. So it's so interesting how animals relate in the world. And so now when I have him, we feed him peanut butter. We once, twice a week or
Once in a
three
while,
times.
yeah.
I always pet him, and because I'm like, oh, that's what you asked me. So it's amazing. It's so interesting though that you're talking about this, because I mean, like I said, we're having all these conversations. There's lots of people that don't think that animals have souls, and it always trips me out, because like when you have pets, it's like, do you not look in their eyes? Do you not see that the love that they radiate to you? You know what I mean? It's this,
Exactly.
it's this.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. Look in their eyes. Their
Yeah.
eyes tell you how much they love you and how much they care about you, and how could they not? How could they not have a soul? I have two spiritual ones around my house too, my baby and my Bastion.
Right.
And I know they're here, and I feel them, and I can sense them. And every now and then I think I'm being hit by a tail, and there's no dog around me except for those two. So I'm pretty sure it's them. But they are created by the divine, so how could they not? I mean, they're pure positive love.
Right.
That's all they want back.
I know it's, I was gonna say that too, is they want that unconditional love. It's amazing. And they give it to you, and it's just, they just radiate with it, and like, how can you not think that they feel and react, and they're so protective of you too. Even cats are, just a certain degree. They just know. It's interesting. But
They know my cats know when I'm not in a good mood, and they'll get on my lap and they'll start to purr,
Oh.
and they're indicating, and their purr is a way of healing. That's how they heal, through their purring. They heal you and they heal themselves. And a lot of us think that purring is because they're loving you or you're loving them. Well, that's part of it, but a lot of it is also they're healing you. They're trying to heal you if only you'd let them.
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm next time a kitty's gonna purr on me, I'm gonna go, oh.
Yeah, they're helping. That's
Wow.
how they help.
That's amazing. Well, we're almost out of time here, but I just want to make sure that everybody gets your information. Just in case they want to do a Reiki session with you, or if they have an animal issue that they want to talk to you about. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Through my cell phone, 520-481-5816.
Okay, and what is your website again? So
www.silentwings2.com.
it's Silent Wings 2, like a number 2.
Yes, the number two.
Dot com. Okay. So if anybody's interested or just has some questions, or do you also do the level attunement too for people that want to get into Reiki?
Yes, I
So
do.
you do the certification?
I do the certifications.
Awesome. So if you want to get certification, or you want to get a Reiki treatment, or you want an animal to get a Reiki treatment, call Yvonne. She's really, really cool. That concludes the interview with Yvonne Kateras. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be right back after this break.
showing me home or singing these tears. Finally, I found that I belong here. On the beat, endlessly. Desperate beat, and I thank you for bringing me here, for showing me home, for singing these tears. Finally, I found that I belong. Feels like home. Should have known from my first breath. Don't send me on, your true friend.
Okay, so we're back, and this is Heather Woodward, and you're listening to Generation Psychic, www.generationpsychic.com, where you can always check me out at heatherwoodward.net. Our next interview is with Erin McNamara. She is a tarot reader, a past life regression person. She teaches. She does all kinds of healing modalities. She's just a wonderful, wonderful person, and you're going to love this interview. So let's get to it.
I do a lot of different things. I give readings. I read tarot cards. I read palm. I read people's energy. I also am a Reiki master teacher. I give Reiki energy healings. I'm also a teacher. I love to teach. Just recently, I had a Reiki class with 8 individuals in Mesa that was wonderful, and they're well on their way with their Reiki 1, looking forward to getting their Reiki 2. I have a tarot class coming up in October. I actually have two classes in Mesa, Arizona, on Sundays, the 3rd to the 17th, and I'm working on a Thursday evening class in Mesa as well, if you're interested in learning to read the tarot cards.
So, what, I read tarot as well, and people always ask me, if you're not going to do it for a living, or you're not going to read people for a living, what is the benefit of reading tarot?
Well, I feel that it's a way to connect with spirit, or God, whatever you want to call it. I call it spirit. I believe gave us tools when we came down here to walk on the earth, and this is one of the tools we were given to communicate with spirit. Working with tarot helps to enhance our connection to spirit, helps to enhance our intuition, and we can do a lot to help ourselves and to help other people understand the world around us through the tarot.
Very, very cool. So it's more just a divination tool, essentially, to help yourself connect to spirit.
Yes.
That's a great way of putting it, because I think people, I know for me, I come across a lot of people that are just really, really afraid of it for some reason, because there's this stigma around it that if you touch them, you're going to die, or I don't know,
yes.
A lot of people come up with trepidation, and so what do you want to tell people about that? Because that's...
I have had people come out and ask me, oh no, is it of the devil? And it's no. It is not of the devil. It is of God. God gave us so many things to get through this life, spirit, source. I believe that all of the herbs, all of the plants and animals were given to us by spirit to help us to heal. The minerals in the ground have the vibrations that help us heal and connect with source. The cards are just another way for spirit to communicate with us and for us to communicate with spirit.
Very, very, very cool. So you also teach Reiki.
I do.
Tell me a little bit about that. What is Reiki, just for those people that don't know?
Okay, Reiki is universal life force energy. We all have the ability to transfer it. When a child gets hurt and mama puts her hand on the wound, that's a transference of Reiki. When you receive the Reiki attunements, it opens your channel to the source of all life force energy so that you can give that energy with the intention of healing without depleting your own resources. When I teach a Reiki class, I give a basic outline, a basic understanding of the history and how to use it, and I place symbols within the person's chakras. What that does is open up their channel to receive life force energy even more strongly, and then to transmit it to another person for healing. And no harm can ever come from Reiki. It cannot be used for harm. It's just like giving someone too much of a good stuff.
Oh, okay. I always wondered that, because you do go into somebody's... I mean, I've had Reiki done.
Yes.
And you do go into other people's energy field. So I just wonder, can you go in there and mess things up, or can you change things around? I mean, is that part of it?
Well,
or?
The cool thing about Reiki is the Reiki practitioner simply delivers the energy. The person receiving the Reiki energy utilizes it in whatever way they choose to subconsciously. Reiki will heal body, mind, and spirit. The individual will decide where to use that. You might think, oh, my arm hurts, when really they have an emotional wound. The Reiki will go to heal the source, the emotional wound. You may find someone that says, yes, I want Reiki energy, please give me a healing. But subconsciously, they really would like to have that disease, that illness, and they won't accept the energy. So it's up to the individual receiving what they do with it and how they receive it.
Ooh, that's good. I didn't know that. Because I've had it done, and I've always taken to it very well. But I guess it's because I chose to.
Yes. You were open and receptive to
yes.
it.
Yes. I did. I got some Reiki that actually opened up my... the yellow chakra, this
power center, solar
plexus.
Yeah,
solar plexus, and I was very off for a few days.
Yes.
But then it really felt like I was more integrated, and actually I wanted to learn Reiki, so this is really cool that I met somebody who teaches it. So where do you teach it, and when do you teach it?
I do not have any classes
okay.
scheduled right now, but for the most part I do teach in Mesa. Mm-hmm. However, I would come down to Tucson if you were interested in a class, if you had at least 9 other people
okay.
that were also interested in the class.
Okay, if people want to get Reiki classes from you or tarot classes, do you have a phone number or a website that they could, or an email that they could
Yes.
contact you?
You can reach me by telephone at 480-296-1928 or email me at erinspiritwalker@yahoo.com. So that's erinspiritwalker@yahoo.com. And I'm also bringing up my fan page on Facebook, and that's going to be Erin in Spirit.
Very cool. Now I wanted to save the best for last. I am been reading a lot about past life regressions right now, and tell me a little bit about how you do it, what it entails, why you're doing it. I'm always interested because people do it for specific reasons.
Yes, I have run into past life regression almost by accident. Had some memories that made me go, whoa, what was that about? I have gone back to probably 6 or 7 different lives that I've had, and each time that I've gone back, I have come back with a healing experience. Some of the experiences that I've had were very painful. Some of them were fairly mild. I also have been a catalyst for random people to have just a flashback and experience a healing from that. My girlfriend Beverly and I were driving to Sedona one day. All of a sudden she said, "Oh my gosh, I'm falling off this castle wall. Ah, it's over now. Ah, my neck doesn't hurt anymore." Just by sitting in the car next to her driving. When I do past life regressions with people, a lot of people are very resistant to it, so I like to spend the time. I like to allow about 2 hours and bring them into a meditative state. So where they can relax and feel safe and feel focused. Then take them back, and a lot of times you'll run into 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 different experiences. Sometimes you'll just get a picture, other times you'll get a whole scenario playing itself out. When people are new to working outside their bodies, sometimes they just get feelings and emotions and not actual pictures. So I like to have time to play with that, but a lot of the time is spent getting the person into the receptive place.
Do you do hypnosis, or is it through meditation, or is it through astral projection? Like, what is your process?
Okay, I am not a hypnotist and I
Okay.
don't do that, but people tell me I have a very hypnotic voice.
You
Okay, I do guided
Okay.
meditations, and it is also astral projection. Anytime that you're leaving your body behind is an astral projection. Every night when you go to sleep, I believe you're astral
Yes,
projecting.
definitely.
So it's a combination of those, but I would call it a guided meditation.
Okay. I gotta ask you this. Do you believe that if you do past life regressions that you're changing the past, present, and the future? Or is it just about healing?
I don't think that you can change it
Okay.
by going back to visit it. You're going back to observe
Okay.
what happened at the time. Time is really a circle.
Okay.
It's all happening simultaneously. Actually, it's kind of more like a ball of yarn that's wrapped up, or a Mobius strip where it goes around and it goes around and it touches in different areas. So I truly believe that while we're talking right now, we might also be talking in 1300 Germany and in 2800 Eastern Europe or Asia. We're existing simultaneously. I personally believe that we also have simultaneous lives, not just past lives. I have had dreams where there were three other women on the earth right now who bought a house at the same time that I bought a house. They have either 2 or 3 of the same kids that I have, and they're within 10 years of my age, and they're alive now.
Do you think it's dimensional where you're actually
Yes.
okay?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so you're tapping into your other dimensional lives.
Yes.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
Our soul is so enormous that we cannot even comprehend, and yet, picture one little toe is what's animating my body right now. My soul is so much bigger than that. It's animating more toes.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I am not. My co-host Rudy is very, very into the dimensional stuff, and
Yes.
he's about polarity. He says you better line up all of your dimensional lives before you make decisions, because if one of them doesn't like the decision you make, the polarity happens. And so we talk about this a lot, about the idea that time is circular or holographic. And
yes.
So that's why I'm asking you these questions, because I'm going to let him listen to this, and then we're going to talk about it.
Perfect.
So this is actually really great stuff. Okay, so what was I going to ask you? No, I forgot. What is the main benefit of having a past life regression if you're going to have one?
Healing. Yes,
okay.
We carry things forward. People talk about karma.
Yes.
People talk about cellular memory.
Yes.
People talk about inheriting from the ancestors. I think all of those things impact us. But I know for a fact that simply by going back and experiencing a past life, even if you don't do any forgiveness or anything like that, simply having that memory releases an energy block and allows you to heal.
That makes sense. How do you feel? I'm going to ask everybody this, but what do you think 2012 is about? What do you think the shift is about right now?
I do not think that the Earth is going to be destroyed.
Okay.
There is a school of thought that says the guy that did the Mayan calendar just got tired of it.
Right.
I like a lot of science with my metaphysics.
I do too.
So I've been very intrigued by the idea that the poles are shifting.
Right.
And that idea has only been around for, what, 10, 20 years?
Yes.
or with the public awareness, and it really kind of scares me a lot, the idea of the physical impact on the Earth.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of what the 212 is.
It's so interesting to me, too, because, and we talk about this a lot, too, on the show, which is that it seems like in the last 10 years, the energy has shifted so much that you can't go back and read stuff prior to, like, 2000. Because it doesn't make sense anymore, because we have, like, exponentially grown and the energy is so different now that
yes.
the lessons don't make sense anymore. And it's strange, because I was reading a book from, like, 1940s, and I was like, this doesn't make any sense to me anymore, you know, because there is that shift. It feels like it's just every year since then, too, it feels like it's just getting shifting more and more. Because you talk about healing a lot, and I'm just wondering about this, because I feel like part of my path is about healing, but it's about healing to get back to the sacred feminine, or to get back to the idea of that, and I just wonder what you think about that.
Oh, actually, that's an area that my attention has been drawn to lately as well. How funny is that? Just this week, it's come up a great deal. For me, a great many of my lives have been as a masculine energy.
Okay.
Taking action, moving forward, doing
me
things,
too.
Making it happen.
Yeah.
To be passive, to be receptive, to be patient, to be the vessel is something that I have to choose to do consciously. A friend of mine has lately reminded me of the power of the feminine, the endurance, and the ability to shift and to go with the flow. I think it's very important that we find the balance between both of those in our lives, and it's something I'm working on right now also.
Me too. I am such a doer. I'm so used to doing that this new role of being in the passive, the more the receptive, I guess.
Yes.
It's a lot quieter, and you have to kind of sit back a lot and take in the information.
Yes.
And it's so difficult just to go, I'm not going to do, I'm just going to wait.
Right.
I'm being prepared.
Yes.
And it drives me absolutely crazy.
Observing.
Observing, yes.
Yes.
The idea of observance.
Which also kind of ties in with physics a little bit, where they've done studies with the particles
mm-hmm.
and saying that they behave differently simply because the observer is present.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, Deepak Chopra talks a little bit about that, and Stephen Hawking
mm-hmm.
talks a little bit about that as well, with the particle accelerators they have in Switzerland.
Yes.
Yes. The observer impacts the particle. So
that's interesting.
Yes, feminine power at its peak.
Yes, that's very interesting. That's very alchemy.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's been a joy talking to you. Again, go ahead and give out your information again so people can contact you.
Yes, my name is Erin McNamara. Please email me at erinspiritwalker@yahoo.com. That's E-R-I-N. S-P-I-R-I-T-W-A-L-K-E-R My telephone number, 480-296-1928. And look for me on Facebook. My fan page will be Erin in Spirit. E-R-I-N space I-N space S-P-I-R-I-T. Heather, I have enjoyed talking with you so much today. I hope we'll have a chance to talk again
more. Oh, we will, definitely.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.